Tardies and Hallmarkies, we are so excited to talk about When Calls the Heart, Home for Christmas. And we are so excited. I just have to put out here that the three of us, Cammie, Caroline, and I, Casey, we are the heartiest of hearties. I mean, extreme level.
Extreme
level.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, basically, you want to know something about When Calls the Heart? Hit us up on Twitter. We got it. If we don't know, we'll find it out. So, just have to let you all know that we are also the heartiest of hearties in the co-hosting world of the Hallmarkies podcast, too. So nobody can beat out our love for When Calls the Heart.
No.
Not a chance. Nuh-uh. So, by the way, hi, everybody.
Yes. Y'all say hi.
Hi.
Yes. I'm Cammie. I'm filling in for Rachel. So if you're watching YouTube and you see my name, yes, my name has not changed legally. I'm filling in for Rachel today. Because like Casey said, we are the heartiest of the hearties.
Indeed we are. And we have here Caroline.
Hey, woo woo. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Yeah.
So, to kick us all off, because we are the heartiest of hearties, we thought in a few When Calls the Heart episode or movies, holiday Christmas movies, and I think there's been, what, five now?
Counting this one, five.
Including this one, yeah, there have been five.
So, I mean, I thought it would be a great idea to start ranking them, because that's what we do on the Hallmarkies podcast. We rank our favorite stuff. And, you know, since we're the heartiest of hearties, we're going to rank the five holiday Christmas movies. And that would be When Calls the Heart, New Year's Wish, When Calls the Heart, Christmas. Oh, we're not counting this one, by the way, because it's so different, and we'll get into that later. So we're just going to do the first four. So just to refresh your memories, if it's been a while for you, the four that we are ranking are When Calls the Heart, New Year's Wish, When Calls the Heart, Christmas, The Wishing Tree, and The Greatest Christmas Blessing, which was last year's Christmas movie. So I know this is a very, very difficult decision, and just a disclaimer, just because there's one that's on the bottom doesn't mean that's like a B-rated movie. Everything is A in our book, because of course we love When Calls the Heart, and every year they get better. So,
yes. Parties!
Yeah, so don't be offended. It's like 100%, 99, 98, 97.
There you go. But A plus for everybody. All of us.
Everybody gets an A. So here we go. Who wants to go first?
I can go first.
Go for it, Caroline.
Okay. My number four, I'm going to do a 4, 3, 2, 1. Number four is season four, the When Calls the Heart Christmas. I love that one, and I love the dress, but the other three. Number three is season three, New Year's Wish. I love that one because we finally got to see Jack and Elizabeth get over Charles, and it's just sweet. Number two, season five, because Jack comes back. And number one, season six, little Jack was born, and it was just the cutest thing ever. So that's mine.
All right.
Very nice. Very nice.
Cammie, would you like to go next?
Why not? Okay, so my number four is The Greatest Christmas Blessing. Hey, we said we weren't going to get there.
Still an A.
Still gets an A. It's just out of those four.
I was picking with you.
Yeah. So, Greatest Christmas Blessing. My number three would be When Calls the Heart Christmas. My number two would be The New Year's Wish, because like Caroline, I just love that
Jack and Elizabeth have now come to a settling understanding, and there's no drama after the big time drama of season two. And my number one would probably have to be the Wishing Tree, because I'm a sucker for those very passionate and heartfelt welcome homes, especially because it was a surprise. So
very nice.
Good list. Good list.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All righty. I guess I'll go next. All right. My number four.
You kind of have to.
Yeah, I guess I do. So my number four is the season four movie. So that's When Calls the Heart Christmas. My number three is The Wishing Tree. My number two is New Year's Wish. That had actually been my favorite until last year. Mm-hmm. like number one. For me, the reason why it's ranked so high on my list, the New Year's Wish movie, is number one, Jack and Elizabeth finally get together and we got that all squared away. And number two, Lee and Rosemary were so funny.
They were. Yeah.
I feel like that was the first time I was like, Rosemary, you are a human being that's not a jerk. I love you.
Lee Coulter, you take that back. No. when he did that, I went, oh. Yeah.
They're so good. They're so
they
good.
They are so good. And I think my favorite moment, my favorite funny moment in that entire movie is when the reporter comes and he's like, say cheese, Mr. LeBeau.
Yeah, that was so funny.
And then he's like, is that
his facial expression.
That weird, yeah. What? Yeah. What?
Yeah. And when he's walking with Rosemary and Florence comes up and he's like, oh, you're Mrs. Blakely. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so funny.
Yes.
You have a cloud for every silver lining.
Yeah, that was so funny.
And she's like, thank you. Wait a second. Like, it's just so funny. But yeah. That's why New Year's Wish was just so high for me. I just love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then my number one is The Greatest Christmas Blessing. I just love the whole Baby Jack thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just seeing Abigail and Rosemary and Elizabeth come together along with the town and the little orphans with the introduction of Grace and Lillian. So I really didn't expect to love it as much as I did, because I was like, oh, it's gonna be
first
like
one without Jack.
Plus we're introducing new characters and I feel like you're just trying to distract us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm gonna like this, but I actually really loved it. So that is my four.
What I loved about Greatest Christmas Blessing was how delicately the Jack situation was handled.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't have to mention him at all. They could have just moved right along, but they didn't. The first shot you see is a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it was so beautifully done. It wasn't harped on.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't dragged through the mud, but it was, at the same time, it wasn't ignored either. Mm-hmm. And that sweet moment when she's talking to him, just saying, I miss you. I miss your smile. I miss your presence. And then the father says to his daughter, I know, the father says to the daughter, take a walk with me. It was the sweetest thing. It made me cry.
Yeah, that was like, I didn't cry in the other Christmas movies, but I did cry, like, happy tears and sad tears in the season six one, and this one. We'll get into that in a little bit,
though. Yeah. Yes. Alrighty. So, I have a little surprise for Cammy and Caroline.
Uh-oh.
We're gonna take a quiz.
Oh,
dear. Oh, man. She's testing our hearty of the heartiest.
Who's going to be number one?
Okay. There are four questions.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how good our memories are, because even me. Now, I will disclaim this. I had these questions, and then I ran out of time to find the answers. just like, you know, refreshing, because I was trying to think of really, really hard questions just to be complicated. But anyways, I have here, it's a piece of paper here, the ultimate Hardee's quiz for Cammie and Caroline.
Oh,
man, now I'm sweating.
All right. Number one, in New Year's Wish, what was the name of the reporter for the San Francisco Herald?
Do we get ABC choices?
You know what? Sure. A, Mr. Smith. B, Mr. Ward. Or C, Mr. Waters.
Ward.
Ward. Yep, Mr. Ward.
Yay!
Yay!
All righty. In number two, in When Calls the Heart Christmas, so that's the 2016 movie between seasons 3 and season 4, who was Santa?
Oh, seriously?
Jack Wagner.
That's Bill.
Oh yeah, Bill. Sorry.
Yeah. Really? You're going to? That's not a hard question.
I mean, hey, you know, I gotta.
That scene was funny.
All the hard ones, you know.
I loved how he lost on purpose. That had to be one of my favorite parts of that whole thing, is that he lost on purpose so he could play Santa.
That's too funny. Alrighty. Number three. In When Calls the Heart, the Christmas Wishing Tree, what was the name of the book Lee never finished reading to his brother?
Oh, I know this one.
Tom Sawyer.
Yeah. Is it Tom Sawyer? I'm going to go Tom Sawyer too, because Cammie said Tom Sawyer.
Oh. Yes, that's the one I was trying to find really quickly. I think it is Tom Sawyer. It was either Tom, I couldn't remember if it was Tom Sawyer or Huck Finn.
I was going to say, no. I was thinking Huck Finn or Tom Sawyer.
It's not Huck Finn, I can guarantee that.
Yeah, okay, so it was Tom Sawyer. And you know what? If we're wrong, feel free to add us. That's fine. Add us on Twitter. and then number four, in The Greatest Christmas Blessing, what was the name of the little girl who didn't speak?
Millie.
Millie.
Yay.
My dog's name is Millie, so that was easy. And she doesn't
cheater,
speak either.
Cheater, pumpkin eater.
All righty. Well, you know what? When we regroup in the spring for When Calls the Heart Season 7, I will try and find harder questions.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, you know what?
All six seasons you can do.
Ooh, you know what? I will take one question from one very – I'm going to do it. I'm going to find one obscure fact from each season.
Man. You have to watch Netflix.
What color was Rosemary's hat in season 1?
Red.
That should be easy. What brand bicycle did Lee have in season 2?
do you need help with the question there? And it's not a bicycle, it's a motorcycle. Know, thank you very much.
Motorbike, whatever, same thing. They called it a bike.
Or as I was about to say, he called it a bicycle with a sewing basket engine.
Yes. Him talking about it is funny.
So you know what? Hardee's out there, DM Hallmarkies podcast on Twitter and send us your hard, super, super duper hard questions. Help us sister.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, I can't find hard questions. Unless it's
you did great. We're great. Just super hardy. Yeah.
You got us with the reporter because we needed the ABC. So
There you go.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Good job.
All right. All right. Now that we've had some fun, let's have some more fun and dive right into Home for Christmas. Yes. So it is... It's been a few months since we've last seen, you know, our friends in Hope Valley. What would you say, like four or five months? 6 months, something like that?
Well, we stopped in May.
Yeah.
Because, no, June. the finale was shown on Paul Green's birthday, which is June 2nd. So that was the final episode. So yeah, it's been 6 months.
Yeah. And I will say, so to start off, the one thing that I noticed right away, how fast did those kids grow over the summer?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Especially the twins, the Taylor twins. I was like, they're so big. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, that didn't strike me as much because, you know, they're babies, so they're growing in with the season. So they would be, you know, they look a year old, you know?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
But like, so Robert and Anna specifically.
Oh my gosh. Like, towering.
From like 8 years old to 16 in like 6 months.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And Harper, his voice is changing. I went, yikes! Who are you?
and little Ava, she's not like, she doesn't have that little voice anymore. You know what I mean? She sounds like
she's 10 now, right?
Makes me sad. I wonder how Aaron feels, because I feel sad and I'm not around them for.
Yeah, and even Allie,
Jada. Oh man, Jada. She got huge.
Yeah, she just matured very quick. Like they all matured, just like that.
Stop growing, kids.
No, we need you. We need you, cute little Hope Valley kids, and forever. Like, you know how in the TV shows like Daniel Tiger and Arthur, they're like they're forever for like 20 seasons.
Yeah.
We need
Elmo
that.
Elmo is perpetually 3 years old, has been since the 70s.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Anyways, what was the one thing that struck out, like that, you know, just popped out to you? Not necessarily character wise, but you know, something obscure.
The set deck, like it was beautiful this season. Like, not that it wasn't beautiful the other seasons, but it just popped this year, I feel. Like, it was Christmassy, like, and it just felt different to me. I love the decorations this year. That's the first thing when I watched it, that's the first thing I noticed was how different Hope Valley looked this year.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about one thing that popped, you know. I can't think of a single thing that popped out for me. If I had to say one thing that popped out, is I would say it's Nathan's and Elizabeth's relationship. I know a lot of people think that this was a point for Lucas, but there was a lot of very intimate moments, and I don't know, it seemed like point for Nathan, and I am not team Nathan, I'm not team Lucas either. It just really seemed like they were pushing Nathan this time around, so I say point for Nathan.
You know, since we're on that topic, I think that's
okay, here we go.
To our next segment, dun, 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 dun. Nathan versus Lucas.
Oh.
Okay.
Whoa.
So we were introduced to these two characters last season. So for me personally, before the season film, before any of that happened, I was like, I'm going to be Team Lucas because why not? He's different. I'm already heartbroken because of this whole Mounty thing. And why would she marry another
Mounty? More Mounty. No more Mounty. I can't take it anymore.
Right. I was just very like, no. Then I watched the season and then I was like, oh, and I don't know if it's because me, like myself, I'm like, oh yes. Or if I'm like, you know, yes, because of Elizabeth and Nathan's, like what I perceive as their chemistry. I don't know. But this, for me, was a point for Nathan, too. Because there was a lot of these, like, I don't know. Okay, this is going to be a very weird term for anybody who doesn't live in the South. But if you've never heard the term eye babies, it's basically like making eyes. but there are a lot of eye babies being made here.
There's a ton of them.
You think with Nathan, it was like, I was thinking with Lucas.
The way Caroline, can you... Lucas. Caroline, can you say Christmas tree?
that one was okay. Can you say lanterns and everything else?
Ooh, she got us there.
And I want to say she was with Nathan because of Allie. She was with Lucas because of Lucas.
I think Allie is more of an excuse, and I am saying this very objectively because I literally cannot decide. I love both of them. I think they both have excellent high points. I am a huge fan of the clean shaven look, so that's immediately an off for Lucas, but he is a very suave, debonair gentleman. But on the other hand, Nathan, to me, seems to be more sincere. He seems to feel things more. It was one thing I noticed is how much I noticed this during the season, but it was really confirmed during this Christmas movie, how much Nathan wants to look good in front of Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the season ending, with the finale and the strong man, you know, with him trying and failing and saying, okay, and then there comes Elizabeth and, oh, well, I'm just getting started. And he takes off his jacket and he tries again. But, you know, and here with the Christmas movie, he, you know, they're talking, the two of them are talking in the store, which number one, I thought, oh, we got the two of them together. And then there's Elizabeth. Oh my gosh, we're going to have all three of them in this.
That was
room.
Funny. Yeah, I like that.
I was waiting for that to happen. But, you know, then Lucas says, Nathan was just saying that he hates Christmas crowds. And did you see the look on Nathan's face?
But like I am Team Lucas. Like I am hardcore Team Lucas, maybe because of Chris McNally, but that's another subject. And, I just love him. And, I think the chemistry between them, like Aaron and Chris, seems a little bit better to me than Aaron and Kevin. But maybe that's just me, because I want her to pick Lucas. Maybe that's why I think it's better.
I kind of, for me, so, you know, like I said, I was originally Team Lucas, but I just haven't seen that, like, longing from Lucas. I've seen very kind gestures. I've seen a lot of like, I have high respect for you. I've seen, you know, a somewhat of a weird friendship, because they don't seem like they're friends. Like, you know, I don't know. They don't seem like they're friends, but they're not like so distant. Mm-hmm. Like she's very, like with Jack, she was very bantery back and forth. And of course that's a different, you know, actor, character and chemistry. But with Lucas, I just haven't seen that. A lot of it has just been very platonic, and like he does a lot of nice gestures. I would like to, if that's the where they're going with it, if they want Lucas and Elizabeth to be together, I would like to see more longing from Lucas. I would like to see more like flirty like obviously flirty moments or like him really wanting to be with her. Because like right now with Nathan, he obviously has the biggest crush on her.
He
like,
really does.
So obvious.
There is no doubt about it. My gosh, in the forest with the Christmas trees, holy moly, he couldn't keep his eyes off her.
Yeah, and he was like, Elizabeth, I was like, where are we going with this? And I was like, oh, Ellie, just hold off on your Christmas tree. I want to know what he had to say to her.
Well, and here's the other thing. Call me crazy, but there were some very poignant lines in there that I wrote them down because I just thought, I mean, number one, Nathan says, there's nowhere else I'd rather be. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. And then
Hope Valley.
But then the other thing that I noticed was that Elizabeth said, you're going to, you have something very specific in mind and you're not going to quit until you find it. And look over at Nathan. And the other one was, I'm getting my lines mixed up. You have something very specific in mind and when it's right, you'll know it. Boom. There was that one moment and then, you know, and then it was, you didn't quit until you found it. And I was like, oh, because then they had another look right there. I don't know. It just, and okay, this is breaking off on a little tangent here, but if we go back to November with Kevin's movie, A Christmas Scavenger Hunt, did you guys hear it? Did you hear him say, take a walk with me?
After people said he did, I watched it back. I'm like, oh, he did say it.
I mean, that could be complete coincidence, but I just thought it so interesting that the man who is playing the character that is basically replacing Jack as a Mountie, as a Mountie.
His job. We need another Mountie.
Yes. We need a Mountie in the town. But so the guy who is basically replacing Jack's character says, take a walk with me. I went, whoa, did they do that on purpose? You know?
I found it interesting. I forget if Chris was doing an interview, I forget, for Home and Family or something. And he said he was auditioning for Nathan, but then they hired him as Lucas after the chemistry read with Aaron. So I wonder what that was about. That was just, I don't remember that.
So, Who knows?
to wrap this part of the podcast up, the segment of the Nathan versus Lucas debate, I will say, I really don't know that the writers know where they're going with it because things change all the time. And Paul Green, if you listen to the Hallmarkies podcast interview with him from a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. he basically said he could not confirm nor deny the fact that they may or may not have wanted his character to end up with Elizabeth originally.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I asked him that question, so yes.
Oh, yeah, you were the one there, yeah. And I remember going, I knew it!
I knew it.
I have a tweet on my phone. I saved the picture, and I said, I bet you that this is what's happening. Of course, everybody loved Faith and Carson together. So, I mean, you know, they're going to please the audience, I think. I just think that the writers have a lot of work to do because they're going to have to really convince one squad over the other, whether that's they can
go and make everyone happy and bring Niall Mater back as Shane.
I love Niall. I love Niall. I love his character of Shane. But then, what would have been the point of this whole dance? You know, it would kind of cancel it. Which that was one of the reasons that I don't want Daniel Lissing to come back at this point. Mm-hmm. When he left, I was devastated. I was heartbroken and I was inconsolable. But at this point, if he were to come back, all of that emotion that Elizabeth felt would have been for naught. Yeah. It would have canceled it all out and all of the moving on that she's had to do. And it just wouldn't make sense anymore. So, go ahead.
And how, like, beautiful performance Aaron has been doing, like, the show.
Oh, don't get me started.
Like, it's just been amazing. And I you said, I wouldn't want him to come back now. But, like, at the end of season 5, I did. But now that we've seen both of those characters, Nathan and Lucas, with her, like, I like that. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you, though.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think one of the reasons I'm having so much trouble picking a team is the actors and the writers and the directors are doing such a fantastic job mm-hmm. at keeping it at a level playing field. Mm-hmm. You know, point for Lucas here, point for Nathan here, mm-hmm. you know, and when at the end of season 6, when she asked Lucas to dance, I said, it's all over. Yeah. It's over. And then there was that look at Nathan walking out the door. I went, holy moly.
I did that to him, like,
yeah.
Dadgummit.
So, yeah, they're doing a really great job at keeping it a level playing field. And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons, because with Jack, it was obvious. He was the only man her age within 50 miles. Yep. You know? But this time around, there are two choices. And so I think I've almost made the decision to just sit back and see who it is. Yeah. So,
and, you know, for me, either way, I mean, just make everybody happy. Make Elizabeth happy. That's all that matters. So,
exactly. Team Elizabeth.
Alrighty.
Team Elizabeth. So, yes.
Team Elizabeth.
She deserves some happiness after everything she's been through.
Yes. Yes. All right. So we're going to flex over to another fun storyline in this movie, which was the Faith and Carson, shenanigans, for lack of better words.
Oh my gosh.
So
the ships of the night.
Yes. I had a feeling they were going to miss each other and it was going to be that thing. But the one thing that really did it for me, that I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. Carson arrives, he turns, and then Faith leaves or something like that.
So Carson hears the announcement and gets on the train, and then Faith comes in.
Okay, yeah, so I got that flip-flop. But as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, we're gonna have a fun time with these two.
I didn't expect it to last that long, like them missing each other.
I didn't either. I know it was the entire episode. I'm wondering if it had something to do with Andrea's filming schedule between Supergirl and being pregnant. Oh, that poor girl.
Yeah.
She was working right up to
the due date.
Yeah, she was working like right up to girl. Yeah.
And Pascal saying that she wished that Andrea had to wear the crazy jacket Rosemary wore.
Oh, the big red poofy jacket.
Yeah, she said she should have worn that during filming of season 7.
Somehow, I don't think that would quite be fitting with Faith's character.
Yes, I think he did a good job hiding her pregnancy, especially with, you know, her character being the nurse. So I think it worked out really well that she didn't have to be in her nurse's outfit and have, you know, I think they had a body double. Mm-hmm. I think I saw that on Instagram, but still.
That's during the season 7 filming. Yeah. But there was no body double for the Christmas special.
Yeah. No, there wasn't.
Cause there was one like on Instagram with her, the nurse's outfit.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought that was just, it was a fun little back and forth storyline with them. And then also I was for me, when I saw the traveling salesman, I was like, okay, you know, sometimes they're a magical person, like the peddler.
That's what I was thinking.
Other movies.
So Sam,
I was like,
Bailey.
Is he like an elf, or is he like a secret, I don't know, doer
really
good or something? I just didn't know. I didn't get his purpose because he was just so obscure. He would like pop in and pop out until the very end.
I didn't think anything of him. I just thought traveling salesman.
Yeah. You know?
I did think like later on, like he would bring Carson back to town. Like, I got that kind of early on, like, that he was going to do that. So that's why I thought, like, he was there. Like, he was, like, an angel or something, you know, coming to bring Carson back to faith.
I kind of hope we'll see him again. He was kind of a fun, quirky little character.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. He was adorable. He was so adorable. His face, the way his smile lit up his face. And just
expression for fun.
His whole personality was just really cute. I even wrote down in my notes, I hope we see him in season 7. So,
Do you
think because of what Henry did at the end about saying, like, about
give me
working,
a call in the new year,
come back? That's what I was guessing.
It's a possibility, you know. Yeah. I mean, anything's possible. They brought Grace's character back for a couple of episodes, even though they didn't really need to, you know. So. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. One thing I have to say about that character of Walter is I love how he brought out Carson's characteristics. His character was an avenue to show what an amazing person Carson is. You know, just even though Walter was the one that gave him a ride, he was covering him with a blanket. He was saying, that cough doesn't sound good. You stay here, stay warm. I'll go get help. Mm-hmm. And when they finally get back to Hope Valley, he could have just said, okay, nice knowing you. And he didn't. He was going, he did. He checked him first before he even went found to see Faith.
I love that part. Like, he's a doctor, and, like, he wants to make sure he's okay. I love
that. Faith is the kind of person who totally would get that, being a nurse.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, and so it just, he was a real catalyst for the character of Carson, just to show off what an amazing person Carson is, and then giving him his jacket, and you know, and he was, and he was totally willing to turn around and drive him right back out to his car with the flat tire. Now, he said, after I check in with Faith, and I said, okay, good.
Yeah, there you go.
That woman does need a break. But just the fact that he was totally willing on Christmas Eve to turn right around and to take him back so that he could make it home for Christmas with his parents. It just,
was sweet. It was very sweet. I mean,
amazing guy. Amazing guy.
I totally agree. And you know, I never thought of that, Carson's character, because I've always loved Carson. But you're right. Every time we've seen him, he's helping because of his job. Like, he's helping someone because they're sick, because they're coming to him. This was a different situation in which he was, like, he wasn't doing it because he was doctor mode, you know? He was doing it because that's who
concerned.
He is.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. We really haven't seen that side of Carson, which is really fun to see. And, you know, I really hope they bring, what's his name, Walter?
Walter.
Yeah, I really hope they bring him back, because he was just precious. I don't know. There was just something about him. I was like, you know.
But it was his smile.
He's just a bright personality, I think.
And it lit up the whole screen when he was getting the waffle. And he was searching in his pockets for the money, and then he found that last little bit of money. And
it was cute.
It was adorable.
Yes. And, you know, just a plug, that would be a really, you know, great way to bring in more diversity to Hope Valley.
There you go.
So.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
All right. So another interesting character who kind of had a part with the traveling salesman, Walter, is Mr. Henry Gowan himself.
Woo-woo.
So did you guys notice when Ned Yost is basically clearing out his shelves for Lucas, and he was in the mercantile, and Henry was like, you know, can I help out, whatever, and he was like, here's some money, and Ned Yost is like, no, I'm good, and he just like shoves the money into the bookkeeping folder anyway.
It took me my second time through to see it. I didn't catch it the first time through, but the second time I saw it, and I just went, oh my goodness, Henry is determined. He is determined to make kind gestures. He is determined to become the kind of person that he wants to be part of the town. Yeah. And my friend Jane, she is a, how would you call him? A gowie? I don't know what. But she is the most bar none to the max Gowan fan, and we have a fun time bantering back and forth. I tease her that Henry's a terrible person, and she comes back and says, "No, he's not. He's wonderful." And so
she could be best friends with Amber.
I want to say her and Amber can be team Henry.
Yeah, Team Henry.
She is gonna be one happy lady after this special, because they really, I mean, yeah, he was still talking about profits and the bottom line, but when it all came down to it, he was really being a kind and genuine person. I think we're seeing the up and up of Mr. Henry Gowan. Yes, yeah. Jane, I said it.
You know, he also, I mean, to be fair to Henry Gowan, he can't be like, hey, I'm a grump and a terrible person one day. I'm going to be the best person in the world the next day. So I like how they're developing his character and they're still keeping him the gruff on the outside, talking about profits, talking about money. But then,
slow progression.
Yeah. You see it from, not the character's perspective. You see it from, like, the third lens perspective of, like, oh, nobody else in Hope Valley, except for maybe Fiona, because she was in the mercantile, right, during that time when he slipped.
Yeah, she's the one that saw it.
Yeah, but nobody else would know, and I kind of like that. I kind of hope that they keep up these, like, kind gestures that Henry will do, but only the audience would know. But
yeah, he's because
nobody in Hope Valley would know.
It wouldn't feel as genuine if he was doing it with like a big audience, like, oh, look what I'm doing. Right. Like, see, I'm doing this good. Like, I like that it's like he's doing it because he wants to do good. It's not to make people like him. Yeah. And he was like that in the season 6 Christmas movie with Little Millie. So it's just so sweet to see how he's changing, and it's like genuine change. It's not like I'm changing because I have to. It's I want to change.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like that.
Yep. All right. So let's talk about Rosemary and Lee. Oh. They didn't have a huge storyline this this season. I think the biggest storylines the main side characters, I guess, would be Carson and Faith. That was like, I felt like that was a big thing. Because you always have like, obviously everything's always usually around Elizabeth and Baby Jack or whatever. Or Abigail and Cody. That's always been like the main side story or whatever. But with Rosemary and Lee, I felt like they were a little more, I don't know, I don't want to say comic relief, because there were a few moments there that I was like,
oh yeah, did too.
I even wrote down in my notes the 2 points when I started crying, so I would remember it. Yeah. I just like, I'm crying here. I'm crying here.
You'll see tear stains on your paper
everywhere.
I think it's amazing how invested we have become with Rosemary and Lee and their storyline and their family.
And I think that's like Pascal and Kevin, like I think if it was a different characters or different people playing the characters, I don't know how I would feel, but Pascal and Kevin, like, they're just amazing.
And Kevin is still the king of reacting to the cold. I specifically watched it because I heard Aaron say once that he is just amazing. He is the one that he is the one that they all go to say, hey, how do I do this when it's sweltering hot outside? Now, this was filmed in October, so it wasn't sweltering. But, when he came into the when he came into the mercantile and Bill was in line with the Lincoln Logs, you know, he closes the door and he just does that little shiver.
Little shiver.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, man, you're good, dude. You're good.
Yes. So one thing I appreciated about this, their story in this movie, is the fact that they didn't overplay or over harp the fact that they didn't have kids yet. You know, it came up very naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the moment where, you know, Lee and Rosemary are talking about baby Jack's, you know,
present.
And
the train set.
Yeah, the train set. Yeah. And to be honest with you, when she said train set, I was like, oh, that's great.
I did too.
But then again,
I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. But it's true that, an electric train set, he would just kind of watch it.
Yeah, he'd destroy it because he's one and he's boy.
Yeah.
But that moment where she said that she would ask the other mothers because, like, basically, I wouldn't know. You know, I was like, oh.
And then how Lee quickly, like, said, oh, that's a good idea about the train. Like, I'm like, bless his heart.
I know. Yeah.
He's a good husband.
He is. Lee is a fantastic husband.
Yes, he is. And then the next moment was, when Rosemary and Elizabeth were building that ginormous gingerbread house.
That was huge.
Oh my gosh. When the camera panned over, I went, whoa, what?
I did too. I'm like, who built that?
I literally sat back in my seat. I could not believe how gigantic that was.
At first I was like, am I seeing this right? I am definitely, and then I thought, you know what? Why am I surprised? It's Rosemary.
Yes, I'll say Rosemary. Yeah.
But in that moment where, Rosemary and Elizabeth are talking, and Rosemary and Elizabeth have that moment about, you don't have to
tiptoe
around me, and about the children and everything. I thought that was a very sweet moment, and I think that's something to appreciate.
You know what I really loved is they were helping each other out because Rosemary was struggling with the infertility. And I really, really appreciated the fact that they brought up that Elizabeth is still struggling with Jack's death. Because once again, they can just pass over it. Mm-hmm. It could have just been all about baby Jack and his first birthday and his first real Christmas. Mm-hmm. But they took that moment. They took that moment to let her mourn a little bit, to we lost my father 8 years ago at Christmas, and it's still hard at my mom, and and it's still something that we're all sad about, because we want him here, we want him here for Christmas. And just for her to say that it's overwhelming to her to think about what Jack is missing, and then Rosemary just hugs her. That was one of the points when I cried. I'm gonna cry right now. It was so beautiful that they are acknowledging that she is still a widow who is dealing with it, and that she is leaning on her friends, that she's and that she had Rosemary there. And Rosemary said, I know it's still hard. And she just gives her that hug. Oh, okay. I'm shutting up now.
I love that part too. Like, cause it seems so natural. Like, you're having happy moments. It's Christmas time. Jack was around her for four and a half years, a major part of her life. You can't just forget about him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
It's his son she's looking at every day. It's just, I thought that was sweet.
I half expected her to have some tears coming down and just have her say, why did you leave me? That would have kind of put it over the hill for me. It may have been a little bit too much, but that's a very real emotion and it pops up. It pops up when you least expect it. Mm-hmm. That when you've lost somebody, it hits you at the most at the most random of times.
It really does.
And, yeah. And so, you know, I half expected her to just have that one tiny little outburst, mm-hmm. but you know, I mean, it was fine without it, yeah. but not that wasn't a criticism, but I half expected it to be there.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, she's always going to have that for her. She's still going through all the firsts, mm-hmm. right? So
yeah.
she's through all the firsts as a widow, just her. Now she's going through all the firsts with baby Jack. So baby Jack's first real Christmas, his first steps, his first words, his first, you know, birthday.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, you know, just understanding or just having that emotion there of like, you know, all the firsts that her son, well, for both, Jack would never, you know little Jack, and little Jack would never know his father mm-hmm. in a personal mm-hmm. level, you know. So I think that was a very touching moment. And then another touching moment to...
Are you going to where I think you're going?
Another character would be Bill.
Yes! You're going where I thought you were going.
Yep. Yep.
Because that was the other scene. That was the other scene. Bill and Elizabeth, where I... on Christmas Eve on little Jack's birthday when I lost it.
I lost it. Like I legit tears. Like
yes. I was just like, I can't handle this. This my emotions in this movie have been up and down. But it was funny to me because at first I was like, what is this present that Bill what is it that Bill had? You know? I had a feeling it was something that had to do with Jack Senior.
Yes, what I thought too, yeah.
So yeah. I kind of had that feeling because they were very close and Bill was kind of like his second father.
Yeah.
But I couldn't figure out like, what was it? Was it something that...
Oh, I had no clue.
Or, you know, was it something that he found like, I don't know, a tiny little Mountie had that he, I don't know, something they found, or was it something that was given to him by Jack?
That's what I was thinking. It was either given to him by Jack or like yeah. he found something that Jack left.
Yeah.
Or something like...
I couldn't figure, you know, I couldn't figure that out. But when it was the compass, I was like, that is just so, I don't know, like, and, you know, may you always find your way home.
And, like, oh my gosh.
I was like, oh, my heart.
And did you, and Elizabeth. Did you see the way that Bill took her hands?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't exactly the same way that Jack took her hands in the wedding, of course, but he held both of her hands, mm-hmm. and I couldn't help but think of the similarity, mm-hmm. you know, that it was just that moment where he's holding both of her hands, he's making her listen, I want little Jack to have this, mm-hmm. so he always finds his way home by with a little father. Help from his dad, yeah. and I'm gonna cry again.
and Elizabeth, like, saying, like, you should keep it, like, you should keep this so you can remember Jack. And she's like, well, like, I see, like, I remember Jack, like, you know, by little Jack. I was mm-hmm. like, and, like, the way he was looking at little Jack throughout the whole mm-hmm. movie, mm-hmm. and, like, how sad he looked at him, like, your dad is missing this, you're missing your dad. That's mm-hmm. what I was getting, like, the vibes I was getting from that.
Yeah.
And, like, it was, like, Bill, I'm surprised by Bill, how, like, how emotional he gets about Jack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even season 5 finale, how he was getting emotional, but like mm-hmm. just in general mm-hmm. in season 6, whenever like the baptism thing, I was mm-hmm. like, Bill, you little softy. I was like, it made me like, kudos to Jack and Jack Wagner and Aaron and everybody else. That scene, it was good.
Yeah, it was. It's funny, like, you know, Bill has always been kind of that rough and gruff character mm-hmm. until baby Jack is in the picture, and then he's yeah. a puddle of mush. And, you know, just thinking about it from Bill Avery's perspective, I mean, he lost, you know, Jack's father.
They were yeah.
And then, yeah. you know, losing Jack, who had become a son to him, and now, you know, he's like, you're raising, well, not raise, well, I mean, you know, it takes a village to raise family, you know. But
he's godfather, though.
Godfather mm-hmm. to, you know, little Jack. And
he lost his son.
It's
going
to be hard for him to just know, like, I knew your grandfather, I knew your father. They're not, neither of them are here. And that's just got to be very hard for Bill as a, you know, just as a human, as a person, just, you know, watching little Jack not know either of the male figures in his family.
Mm-hmm. And like Caroline said, Bill lost a son. So
yeah, that's right.
So he wants somebody to focus on. He wants somebody to shower all this love that he has bottled up inside.
Yeah. And that was like Jack Senior was like that for him, and now he can carry that on to little Jack. That's sweet.
Yeah. Very sweet.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're all crying now.
All right.
Merry Christmas.
Lighter, so a couple more characters. Lighter notes. Although, I don't know, maybe this one's not going to be as light. Maybe this is going to be a little, like, teary moment, too, because it was a little teary moment for me. But Florence and Fiona.
Oh, that was
so funny. Oh, my God.
I didn't expect their friendship to be like that.
To be that heartfelt. Yeah. No.
And, like, the age difference thing, too. Like, Elizabeth and Abigail, and now Fiona and... Florence.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're totally right there. But I
think about all this stuff every time I watch, so.
That would be kind of fun to see if they became the new, I mean, I don't want to say the new Abigail Elizabeth dynamic, but just a different spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because, you know, Florence is just so prickly at times. I mean, mm-hmm. and just so worried about everything. And Fiona is so, you know, free as a bird.
Easy going.
Showing off them ankles, you know? So I think it'll be fun to see them, you know, play off of each other in mm-hmm. the upcoming season.
I loved, just while we're on Florence, I loved that totally reluctant nod of hers when Lucas comes up to the kids and says, "You guys like magic, don't you? Well, yeah. How would you like to help me make some?" And then he looks at Florence and says, "Are you in?" And she gives her this, "Indeed." You know? Yeah. I mean, because you know that she still doesn't like him very much. And mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm in.
You know, yeah. I'm wearing you down, baby.
Yeah. Too funny. And then speaking of Lucas and his surprise for Hope Valley.
And Elizabeth.
For Elizabeth.
Sure.
Yes, Caroline, we know.
I really loved how he just, I don't know, he made Hope Valley so magical. And I loved the festival that they did. I thought that was super mm-hmm. fun. And with Lucas's storyline, the one thing that stuck out to me is I liked seeing him and Jesse become friends. And
mm-hmm. oh, I love the line yes, at the end yes, where, yes.
Clara is basically, you know, she's thanking him and then she's making a toast. And Lucas says to Christmas, and then Jesse says and to friends.
Yeah,
and
that was so sweet. Each other,
and I was like, yes.
Very poignant.
Yes. And, you know, I think there's finally, and obviously Jesse and Clara are engaged, but I think Jesse still kind of had in the back of his mind, like, what is Lucas's deal? Like, does he have an ulterior motive? Is he out to get the girl still? Like, why is Clara so, like, invested in Lucas? So it's just really nice to tie that, like, to put that in the past and to go forward as friends. And, you know, I think Jesse always could use more male good influences in his life.
Keep him out of trouble.
Yeah, keep him out of trouble. Mature him up a little bit. So,
and since Jack is gone, like it's nice to see another, like, because Lee and Jack were so close. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see another male friendship, you know, form.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you see a very big rivalry for him as well. Nathan does not like him. I have so much fun. I have so much fun watching them on screen together because just, you know, the whole leave it to Lucas to run out of food, you know.
Yeah.
and then bringing in the chairs. You know, Lee says, "'Tis the season," and Nathan follows along and goes, mm. You know, just gives that little half smile.
It seems like Lucas or Nathan is more reluctant of Lucas than Lucas is of Nathan. Like, at least Lucas is like nice to Nathan. Point Lucas.
Oh my gosh. Can you blame Nathan for being a little wary of the guy?
Not now, maybe at the beginning, but he's proven himself.
Has he? No, I'm just kidding.
The library.
Here's a pot and here's my spoon. So y'all, I think we've pretty much gotten everybody. Did I miss out on anybody that we still need to talk about?
Can I say one thing about Hickam and that scene?
Oh, yes. Talk about Hickam.
I love Hickam. And he needs a girl. So find someone for Hickam.
He still needs a girlfriend.
Fiona, maybe. But I thought that was so hilarious how he picks up his food and walks away. I was like, man, that was Hickam, so funny.
Hickam's eating the last of the pot roast. Yeah. It's mine.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not going to take it from you. I was like, that's so funny.
That was the perfect interaction right there.
Ben has the best reactions because
yeah, that's really
the first time that's happened. There's been lots of other times where Hickam's been slighted and Ben will just have this look. He doesn't even have to say anything.
Mm-hmm. Ben is such a fabulous actor. I adore watching him. And yeah. Okay, Molly, can we talk about Molly? On earth moves a Christmas present from a very prominent place and doesn't say anything?
Yes. And he's like, what? I said, I'm looking for something. He's like, well, I forgot what she said.
I wasn't in your desk. I found it on top of your desk.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not 9 years old.
I feel like that's happened before with somebody else.
Probably.
You know? Mm-hmm. If you remember, Within One calls the heart, you know, universe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that was just odd. I don't know. It also kind of made me laugh, but yeah. I was sad we didn't have any Flo-Mo moments.
Yeah.
I know. Flo-mo, but, you know, we've got all of season 7 coming up. There's only so much you can do in a 2-hour Christmas special.
And the breakfast scene, was it Christmas Day breakfast with everybody?
Christmas Day morning.
They had cinnamon rolls, and that made me laugh. Did y'all notice the cinnamon rolls?
In Elizabeth's house, yeah.
Yeah, like, that made me laugh.
Why did that make you laugh?
Because Aaron loves cinnamon rolls.
Oh, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to talk about the pancakes with the powdered sugar snowflakes.
That was cute, too.
That was cute. Anything else, y'all?
The fact that Lee went to Hickam to ask him to build the rocking horse.
I love that he said,
I'd do anything for the two of you. I love seeing that even though Michael left, mm-hmm. even though Michael left the company, he called him Lee. You know, mm-hmm. he said, Merry Christmas, Lee. So he's kind of upped himself, and he was mm-hmm. a little bit more well-dressed because he's working for Henry. But mm-hmm. he still said, I love woodworking. I'd do anything for the two of you. And it was an adorable rocking horse. So cute. And, of course, you know, Bill says he's a natural just like his dad. Moving on. You know,
that was cute.
But just, you know, I loved that whole thing, that it was a way to include Michael in their lives, even though he's not working for Lee anymore. It was a perfect way mm-hmm. to have him there.
Yeah.
It was sweet.
All right. Overall thoughts on Home for Christmas.
I loved it. It was sweet. Like, I don't know that, like you said, it's, like, at a different level than the other ones. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe once I see the rest of the season, I can, like, how I feel about, you know, ranking-wise. But I did think they played it well, Elizabeth with Nathan and Elizabeth with Lucas. Like, mm-hmm. I thought that was a good balance. A good balance. You don't want people to know right away.
That's right. Who
Elizabeth picks, but it's gonna be Lucas.
Sure, Caroline. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna be devastated, but I don't care. Like, if it's Nathan, I'll be happy too. But that's just my personal.
Can we quote you on that, Miss Rich?
What Christmas?
He's in nine.
December 26, 2019. Caroline said she will be okay.
We're gonna pull that. Yep.
And then you'll see that my Twitter account. Oh, why?
But may I bring you back to December
26? Yep. What about you, Cammie? What are your final thoughts on this movie?
This movie was so different. You know, it was the first Christmas special with the very different dynamic. Mm-hmm. And even though the different dynamic was there with the reshooting of season 6, this one, there was no editing needed. You know, it was like that from the beginning. And so just seeing how all of the pieces fit together, it was in a category by itself, like we've said. And it was just really, really well done. One moment that I really loved that we didn't talk about was when Nathan told Allie that they were staying. We didn't talk about the promotion. Oh. Yeah, that, you know, I mean, that must have been a really, really hard decision for him. Do I stay in Hope Valley where I'm fighting for a girl's affections?
Yeah, point one. One point.
But I mean, seriously, he says we don't have anything holding us back. And right there, Elizabeth just looks totally dejected when he says that. Caroline, yes, she did.
She's like, oh, he's going now. I can think about Lucas. I'm kidding.
I told you I'm neutral territory. But she looked totally dejected when he said, mm-hmm. there's nothing holding us back here. And right. So, but what do I do? Do I stay in Hope Valley with a menial job when I could have a promotion because I'm pining away for a girl that may or may not be interested in me? Mm-hmm. Or do I go to Union City? Do I take this promotion, be an inspector? And, you know, it would have solved a lot of problems plot-wise, but of course we want there to be a plot, so right. We want him to stay.
Right. I did find it interesting that he didn't tell Elizabeth that he's staying, like, Allie had to tell her that they're staying.
He was on his way. He was on his way.
It's just that Allie, I mean, it's Christmas with a bunch of people in a saloon and everyone's talking to everybody. And I feel like he was on his way to tell her. And
he saw her with Lucas. Mm-hmm. He saw her with Lucas and they were just talking, but he did the exact same thing that he did in the season 6 finale. He kind of gave that sad smile and turned and walked away. But the whole, oh, I have to go tell all my friends and Mrs. Thornton, and just his reaction. Whoa, 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 I'll tell Mrs. Thornton.
And then she did.
It that totally shocked me. It took me by surprise. I went, whoa, oh my gosh. Okay, Nathan, you, yes, you go ahead.
Poor puppy dog.
Yes. Yeah, I will say, if they keep up this poor puppy dog thing throughout season 7, I will be so mad. I will switch teams so fast.
I know. He does seem more like the puppy dog.
It's cute going, you know, because to be fair, he doesn't know how she feels, and she's also a widow, and she's also a mother. And so I think he's also being very respectful of that.
And
so
she's the widow of a Mountie.
Right, so and a widow of a Mountie.
He probably feels that a little bit, you know?
And so I feel like if they keep this up, like, I need him to, like,
make a gesture.
Yes, I need him to be very like, you know what, I don't care if Lucas
is Elizabeth.
I am going to get in there and make my presence and my feelings known. We waited how many, 4 years for an engagement, 5 years for a wedding. And we cannot do this for another 4 years.
And no.
And I think they realized that the writers and the actors, like, these poor people, like, they invested so much into Jack and Elizabeth, like, who do you think's gonna do the first, like, romantic gesture, like, that Elizabeth will, you know, towards Elizabeth, you know, who do you think will do it? Season 7 prediction.
Well, I mean, the way things are going, probably Lucas, because he's a lot more forward and he's a lot more out there, and he's, I don't know, the attitude that I get from Lucas is that he's interested in Elizabeth, mm-hmm. but he's very self-sufficient. He's very independent. So he doesn't feel a need for her the way that Nathan obviously does. Mm-hmm. So the puppy dog has its pros and cons. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like it could go either way. I feel like either Lucas is just going to step it up and be like very purposeful. Now, he did do a lot of nice gestures again for Elizabeth, you know, with the library and then with
the almost flirted with her in the library, but then he backed out.
Right. And also in this Christmas movie, but you have to also realize too, his gestures are not just for Elizabeth. It also benefited the town. I'm waiting for someone to benefit Elizabeth specifically with no outside, you know.
And Elizabeth knows, like, oh, he's doing this for me, you know.
I was just going to say, you know what would be really funny is if he does something and then she looks around to see if anybody else is coming and he says something like, no, this is for you. You know, and just to see what her reaction would be. While we're on Lucas, I really appreciated the look into his backstory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did too.
Anytime they do a backstory, it's just, it's wonderful. And even, you know, anything. It's just, I loved learning more about him, especially since he always is keeping his cards so close to his vest.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just to see how much Christmas affected him and to see that
he wanted to share it with everybody. Like he was doing it to be like sweet and to remember like his childhood and stuff. I thought that was sweet.
Yeah, he's got this aloof facade, but he wanted to make everybody happy the way he was happy at Christmas. Yeah. And I gotta say, there was something about his desperation. Mm-hmm. You know, when he said, oh, did you notice he called her Clara instead of Clara? He called her Clara. He said, Clara, I know you're taking up extra shifts at the cafe, but I need help. You know, and I went, oh my gosh. It took me a second to register what he was doing because he called her Clara. You know, and then, I mean, there's something to be said that the mask fell and mm-hmm. he said, I need help. I'm desperate. Yeah. And what happened? The whole town came together
in the Hope Valley way.
They all did ways
in the Hope Valley way with Rosemary in that beautiful coat.
I know.
Oh my gosh, that was stunning. That was so stunning. Whoever designed that, kudos to you. Oh man.
All righty. I guess my final thoughts on this movie. Like, I agree with everything you guys have said. I mean, this has been a movie on its own. You know, ranking wise, because
it's a game changer.
It really is. It's the first with all the new characters. Because last year we didn't meet Nathan, we didn't meet Lucas until into season 6, and this is the first.
We didn't meet Fiona either.
We didn't meet Fiona either until that point. We didn't have Abigail in this movie. We didn't have Mountie Jack. We had Allie as a new student and.
No Cody, yeah.
No Cody this year. And then also, I feel like all of the characters have gone on to a new chapter in their life. It just kind of seems that way, you know, with Rosemary and Lee and they're, you know, trying to start a family. With Gowan and his, you know, I'm going to be, rough and tough on the outside, but I'm really a soft and, you know, cuddly person on the inside with, Carson and Faith and their blooming relationship with Elizabeth and the guys.
And the two.
And everybody.
They said that season 6 was the rebirth of When Calls a Heart, but I honestly think season 7 is the rebirth.
I agree.
This movie was definitely the rebirth.
Yeah.
just, I don't know. It felt like, not that it was a you know, pilot or a season, like a season one type of thing. It was just like, When Calls the Heart 2.0.
Yeah,
And then we have like 7 and on.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. I know you guys are so excited for season 7. We are going to have to regroup again in the spring or maybe in a couple months.
I was about to say, it's still going to be winter. I mean, not here in Texas, but it's still going to be winter in February.
I'm in Florida, so I live in
South Carolina is the same way. So we're
okay,
all...
so yeah, it's going to be spring for all of us. Yeah. So.
Which really will be like next month, because I think usually the seasons come out in February. So we will regroup before then and talk a lot more about what we think about season 7 and where we think the characters are going, because... like I said, hardiest of hardies, and we do a lot of sleuthing, so.
We do.
We will
watch out
and report back on the Hallmarkies podcast. And yeah, I'm excited, and I hope you guys are too. Any last words?
I can't wait for season 7, and I think it's going to be the best season yet.
Season 7 will be heaven.
Yeah. 8 will be great.
Yeah. 8 will be great. 9 will be totally fine, you know?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You guys.
10.
Okay. Enough of the hashtags. We get it.
Parties for life.
Parties for life.
There we go. Oh gosh. I am so excited to see what. I hate saying what the future will bring, because that sounds so cliche. That sounds like real life, but I'm really excited to see what's going to unfold and what's going to happen. It's just, it's going to be a real treat. It really is.
And it's a real mystery too. I mean,
it is. We are really being kept guessing here.
Like, we really don't know. Cause like you said before, like, we knew she's going to be with Jack.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Billy was an obstacle. You knew that.
Yeah. Charles and Billy were like, nah.
Yeah.
But like, it's fun to like have the teams and have the back and forth of like, Elizabeth is better with Lucas or Elizabeth better with Nathan. But like, we all are going to be fine with whoever they pick. We know that.
Of course.
It's just a fun little game. And we just want Elizabeth happy, or I want Elizabeth happy.
And as do all. Mm-hmm.
Yes, as do I.
Team Elizabeth. So.
Team Elizabeth. Alrighty. Well,
okay, but before we go, here is the burning question. Why no shot of baby Jack digging into his birthday cake? I mean, because Elizabeth said, go for it. I was wondering, did he not do it? Did he just not do it? And so they didn't include it? Or did it get everywhere? So they said, nope, we're not using that. That is the burning question.
Tweet Aaron and ask her.
You know what? We can do that. All righty. Well, where can everybody follow you?
Me at Twitter at Mita Caroline R. At Mita Caroline R.
Yeah. All right. And Cammy?
For Twitter and Instagram, it's at Cammy Drama Girl. And on Facebook, I have my Facebook Hooked Hardy page, and my blog is hookedhardy.com.
All right, and then you can follow me on Twitter at Hallmark My Words. So we will see you guys again before the
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! Happy 2020!
We'll all have perfect vision this year, right?
Oh, yeah, let's hope. For what team Elizabeth's going to pick.
Oh my word.
Okay, bye!
Bye!
Hi, Hardys and Hallmarkies. I hope you enjoyed our discussion of the When Calls the Heart Home for Christmas movie event. Cammy, Caroline, and I definitely had a lot of fun. We had a lot of laughs, and we just love When Calls the Heart. Now, I know you might be wondering, wait a second, y'all don't usually end these episodes on a self-tape of a co-host. What is going on? So let me tell you. You know how we had that quiz, that pop quiz that I kind of threw at Cammie and Caroline? Yeah, so one of the questions didn't even apply to one of the Christmas episodes, and I realized that at midnight. Yep. I meant to check through all my questions. When I was putting everything together, I was going off of memory, and you know, 5-6 years, they blur. I'm human, right? So, anyways, if you caught that, kudos to you. I will give you my heartiest of hearties hat. For the rest of you, go back and listen. See which one it is that I asked that does not involve Christmas. I got that super confused. Anyways, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you can think of any really, really, really hard, Len Calls the Heart questions, I would love to get them from you guys. So DM me at HallmarkMyWords on Twitter or on Instagram. And maybe Caroline, Cammie, and I will regroup before season 7, and I will just throw them a bunch of obscure questions and see how they do. Okay? I hope you guys have a happy new year, and we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.